It has been such a wonderful weekend, and we're so thankful for everyone's presence this morning. Let me go ahead and say a few things about the weekend. We had the students from the Brown Trail School of Preaching come up and be with us on Friday morning, and then we went out and we canvassed the community. And I want to say that we got about 90% of the community canvassed, and so we touched 90% of the doors of the city within the city limits of New Boston. And so I'm very thankful for their efforts, and I'm thankful for their desire to love and know the truth and to go into the ministry and to be men and women who are going to be actively involved in serving the Lord. And I'm very thankful for their efforts this weekend, and I am grateful that they came out. And they've been such a good encouragement to us, and it's been such a boost to have them with us. And I hope that you will pray for their safe journey home this afternoon. And I hope that you will continue to pray for them as they continue to study and learn and grow in the Lord's kingdom. We're very thankful for their efforts. I'm also thankful for Brother Justin and the fine job that he's done this weekend in leading our singing, especially in coordinating all of the different songs that I've requested of him this weekend, and he's done a fantastic job at that. We're also thankful to our elders for their vision and foresight and seeing the need to do something like this, and for their good leadership here at the congregation. And be sure to say thank you to them if you have enjoyed yourself this weekend. And I know that everyone who has come has. It has been a wonderful weekend. And we are culminating that weekend right now as we think about the old rugged cross. We've just had the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper and to remember Jesus, both His death and the shedding of His blood and the sacrifice that He made for us, that we might have the opportunity to be saved with God in heaven one day. In John chapter 19 and verses 16 through 19, we read about that old rugged cross. We read, "Then He delivered Him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led Him away. And He, bearing His cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified Him, and two others with Him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." The song, "The Old Rugged Cross," was written by George Benard in 1913. And it was written because during a series of meetings that he held as one who was preaching, he was mocked for his beliefs by a group of boys, and they continued to follow him around and heckle him as he was preaching this series of meetings. Well, this prompted him to do a study about the cross of Christ. And it was out of that study and out of his meditation that he composed this hymn. The chorus of this song is, "So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown." It prompts us to ask the question, do we cherish that old rugged cross? We should cherish it for the wonderful things that were done there by Jesus for us. At the old rugged cross, the hymn says, first of all, the dearest and best was slain for a world of lost sinners. We'll talk about that. At the old rugged cross, some were repelled. That is, they despised that old rugged cross. But then others were attracted, because it holds a wondrous attraction for us. And then at that old rugged cross, a Savior calls the saved to faithfulness and to eternal life. And that's something that we'll think about as well this morning. Let's think about this song, "The Old Rugged Cross," and reflect upon what it means for us as we who observe the Lord's Supper each and every Sunday, as we remember that great event, the greatest event that happened in the history of the world, the death and crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. At the old rugged cross, the dearest and best was slain for a world of lost sinners, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. The cross was an instrument of death and torture for those who had committed capital crimes. This was the method of Rome for putting to death people who had offended them in the worst possible way. It was designed to prolong death for a period of days. The victim's hands were nailed to the cross so that he could not escape that death that was coming for him. And his feet were nailed to the bottom of the cross. A wedge was placed behind the victim's back so that he couldn't push down upon his feet and straighten up and get a full breath of air, so that only a fleeting breath could he get for a long, long period of time. The cross was shameful for the Jews because, as Paul wrote in the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And so that was a shameful death for a Jewish person to die because of the curse that was written upon those who hung on a tree. Yes, the cross was a horrible, terrible thing to behold. And it was even more horrible in Jesus' case because he was an innocent man who was dying there for the sins of the world. Pilate said of Jesus three times in John chapter 18, verse 38, John chapter 19, verse 4, and 19 and verse 6, I find no fault in him. But because of his cowardice, because he was afraid to stand up to the Jews and refuse to put Jesus to death, he allowed them to crucify him so that Jesus could die. Yes, but of course it was in God's plan for this to happen, so that Jesus, an innocent man, could suffer for the sins of the world, and that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 says, For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that is, Jesus knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, as he hung there on the cross and bore the sins of all mankind, so also in his sinlessness, in his righteousness, when we turn to him and believe in him and put our faith and trust in him and obey him, then God makes us righteous as he is righteous. He did no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth, Peter told us in 1 Peter 2 and verse 22. And in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 we read, For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Yes, he was innocent of all sin, but he suffered there, and he hung on that cross, bearing the burden of all the sins of mankind, bearing the penalty for sinners, and receiving what we should have received as a penalty for our sins. Yes, he was slain for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. Paul says that he was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Romans chapter 4 and verse 25. And John puts it this way. He is the propitiation, or the satisfactory offering for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. At the old rugged cross, the dearest and best was slain for a world of lost sinners. But at the old rugged cross, we see that some are repelled, and yet others are attracted. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. The cross is certainly despised by the world. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 23, he says, But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Jesus himself said in John chapter 15 and verse 18, If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Yes, that old rugged cross is despised by many. And as Jesus was hanging on that cross, people walked by. They wagged their finger at him. They said, Oh, you who promised to build the temple in 3 days, come down from that cross. They despised him while they were while he was there upon the cross and while they were looking at him. But the cross holds a wondrous attraction for others. Jesus said that all would be attracted to the cross for some reason or another. He said in John chapter 12 and verse 32, And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw or attract all men unto me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24, we read that while to the Jews the cross is a stumbling block, and to the Greeks it is foolishness, Paul writes, But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God, and Christ is the wisdom of God. And the power of God and the wisdom of God is certainly something that we're attracted to. Yes, on that old rugged cross, Jesus suffered and died, and as a result, showed the wonderful goodness of God. The goodness of God leads us, attracts us to repentance. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. That cross was despised by the world, but it holds a wondrous attraction for us. And it was there that God's Son was lifted up, and the dear Lamb of God left His glory above, so that we might be pardoned. In Romans chapter 5 and verses 6 through 8, we read, For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we remembered Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 this morning as we thought about having that mind in us which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, the American Standard Version says, did not count being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but He emptied Himself. He took the form of a servant, and being in likeness as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, yea, even the death of the cross. And so God raised Him up, and by that we are attracted to the cross. Yes, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me, for the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. But then at that old rugged cross, a Savior calls the saved to faithfulness and eternal life. In that last stanza we sung, we read these words, To that old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then He'll call me one day to my home far away, where His glory forever I'll share. Let us gladly bear the shame and the reproach of that old rugged cross. Let us take it upon us and walk every day, understanding that we must take up and bear our own crosses for Him. In Matthew chapter 16 and verses 24 through 26, Jesus has these words to say, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Paul the Apostle wrote these wonderful words in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Yes, we need to take up that old rugged cross, and we need to bear it within our lives as Jesus took up that old rugged cross, and He bore it for us. Be thou faithful unto death, He says, and I will give to thee the crown of life. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. And then when this life is over and God calls us home, because it is appointed unto all men to die, but after this the judgment, Hebrews 9 and verse 27, then Jesus will take us to Him and we'll be able to live in that wonderful place that He has prepared for us. In my Father's house, He says, are many mansions, or many places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be. He'll call me one day to my home far away, where His glory forever I'll share. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 28, and I have given unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Let's be faithful to Him, because as we mentioned earlier, He has won the victory, and through Him we can overcome. At the old rugged cross, the dearest and best was slain for a world of lost sinners. At the old rugged cross, some were repelled, but others are attracted. And at the old rugged cross, a Savior calls the saved to faithfulness and to eternal life. There is no trophy so valuable that we cannot lay it at the foot of the cross. And you know, oftentimes it is our own pride and our own accomplishments that prevents us from doing what we know we need to do in order to be right with Him. Let's think about that chorus again. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to that old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Do we truly cherish that old rugged cross? Do we truly understand that all the trophies that we have won in this life are worth nothing compared to what Jesus has done? And that one day we will bow before Him, because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Christ Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father? We will bow before Him and we will lay down all of our trophies. You see, there is nothing in which we can have so much pride that it will not be placed before Christ on that day. Let's lay down our trophies this morning. Let's resolve to give up all of the pride within our life that prevents us from doing what is right. Let's bow down before that old rugged cross and what Jesus has done there. And let's worship the Savior, Jesus our Lord, for the wonderful salvation that He has provided by going to that old rugged cross. Would you come to Him this morning in faith and in repentance, seeking to confess Him as Lord and Savior? You can be baptized this very hour and be crucified, that old man of sin, be crucified and be buried in the watery graves of baptism and be raised up to walk in newness of life, just as Jesus was crucified, was buried, and was raised up. And He now sits at the right hand of the throne of the Father. And He says to all men to come unto Him so that He can give you rest. Let go of those trophies and cling to that old rugged cross this morning while we stand and sing this song of encouragement.